Snakes. Landmines. And grass fires. A podcast about real estate.
Hello, welcome again to another podcast at the Poodle Ranch in Houston, Texas. And I'm with Mr. Lester Langdon, broker extraordinaire for Houstonius.com.
And we call this Snakes, Landmines, and Grass Fires.
Yes, we do.
And we're here at the beautiful Poodle Ranch on a beautiful day. The world's going to get better.
Okay. So today, we've already covered the entire contract. So today we're going to start into some of the addendums, specifically the commercial financing addendum. So Lester, what is this? What's the difference between the commercial financing addendum and the residential financing addendum?
That's easy for you to say. So there is a similarity between the commercial financing addendum and the residential financing addendum. In paragraph A1, it states the amount of the financing. So you need to be sure to have the same amount, the same dollar amount as you do in the main contract, which states the amount of the financing also. In the paragraph A, we talk about the years of that the interest will be paid, the maximum interest rate that would be acceptable, and the years of amortization of the loan.
When you say amortization for Joe average out there, you mean how many years is the lease or the, excuse me, is the purchase going to be? 15 years, 30 years?
Right.
That's what you mean.
Right.
Okay, thank you. What does paragraph A2 state?
It talks about the maximum number of days that the buyer has to notify the seller of the buyer's ability, or I should say inability, to get a loan with those standards and criteria in paragraph A1. And therefore, if the bank will not loan enough funds at a rate specified in this contract, in this addendum, then the buyer can terminate and get the refund of the earnest money back to the buyer. So paragraph A2 states that the maximum number of days for the buyer to notify the seller of the buyer's inability to get a loan with those loan conditions and criteria that we just mentioned. Therefore, this is important. Therefore, if the bank will not loan enough funds at a rate specified by the buyer, then the buyer can terminate and get a refund of his earnest money.
So if the bank says, yes, we'll loan you all your funds, but say it's a quarter point more than what is acceptable and in the financing addendum, what would happen?
So if it's not at an interest rate at or below the interest rate specified in the financing addendum, then the buyer can terminate and get a refund of his earnest money. But more importantly is the bank has to agree that amount of money. Or more. If the bank doesn't want to loan enough money, then the buyer can get his earnest money refunded back to him. The important issue here is that it has to appraise.
Correct. But also, if they agree to loan the amount of money that we're asking for, but at a higher rate, that is also a point to terminate the contract.
So we have, you have two important points here. That's a very important point, but a lot of people don't want to overpay for the property.
Exactly. But if you were paying more interest than you wanted to, you would be overpaying for the property.
Yeah. Buyers are really overly consumed with how much they're paying for the property. They're not as concerned about the interest rate.
Right. But they should consider that should calculate.
And you're exactly correct, because the cost of buying a property is not just the sales price. You got to consider the price of money also. You're exactly right. And they don't often enough give enough weight or consideration to the cost of money. They're oftentimes going to pay more in interest than what they paid for the property.
Yeah, I go back far enough to remember when interest rates were 18%. You could almost put it on a credit card.
You're not that old.
Yeah, I am. Thank you, though, dear.
So keep in mind that a lot of sellers do not care about the buyer's loan terms. They just want to know quickly if the buyer can borrow the money. I mean, is this deal going to close or not? The seller is not concerned about the terms, so they just want to know within the number of days in this addendum, they need to get their notification that the buyer can or cannot buy it.
Right.
Now, if the buyer does not notify the seller, then the earnest money is not refundable under the terms of the financing addendum. And for very unique properties, there are sometimes few comparable properties. Or when buying a property with low occupancy and high vacancy, or properties needing repairs or remodeling, or for reasons that are not yet disclosed, then this can be an issue. So sometimes you should, if you're a seller, not check the box that says that the loan is subject to and conditioned upon the buyer being able to get a loan. So you just don't check that box. Just check the box that it's not contingent upon the buyer's ability to get a loan. If you can't get a loan, don't make an offer.
I wish it was that easy. Lots of folks out there, well, let's see what they'll take. And then let's see if I can find some folks to back it or
right.
fight.
Or let me see if I can go find some partners.
Yeah.
So the challenge, though, is sometimes a lot of agents that represent the buyers oftentimes say, well, I'm going to tell my buyer not to agree to this. Because what if it doesn't appraise? And my attitude representing the seller is, well, you as an agent ought to know what the property's worth and if it'll appraise or not.
Correct. I got it. Okay.
I'm kind of mean, aren't I?
Yeah. Well, you've dealt in the real world for many years.
You know, you and I contracted to build a one-story home on 2 acres, and the appraiser for the bank loan had to compare this home to other homes that were 2 stories. Instead of the one-story house that we were building, they compared it to 2-story homes on a very little amount of land, so there are no comparable properties.
And so we were kind of sweating that one for a while.
Don't check the box that says that the loan's subject to and conditioned upon the buyer being able to get a loan, because there may be no comparable prices, and it may be very difficult for an appraiser to give an accurate determination of value.
What other instances or examples can you give us?
I represented a seller of a fourplex that did not have a kitchen in one unit and did not have a bathroom in another unit.
And, what? Okay.
And so he said that it only had 2 units instead of 4. The one that didn't have a kitchen was a 0 unit because it didn't have a kitchen, and the other one didn't have a bathroom, so he didn't include that as a unit. Basically, it was a 2-plex instead of a 4-plex, so the buyer couldn't get a loan. And then I represented a seller of a commercial 5-plex on a commercial loan, a commercial contract, and the buyer was trying to get a loan for a 4-plex residential loan. And so it didn't happen. Actually, it did kind of happen later on. What happened was the seller filled the 5th apartment that was vacant, filled it with empty brown cardboard boxes and said it was storage.
Okay.
And so instead of a 5-plex, it was a 4-plex. And then once the loan was secured, the new buyer just took all the empty cardboard boxes and moved somebody in.
There you go. There's always a way to skin a cat.
Know that if a party should rightfully receive the released earnest money and the other party refuses to sign the release of the earnest money, the party can file a lawsuit and get the earnest money plus damages plus legal fees. So if you're supposed to release the earnest money, sign the release of earnest money. Otherwise, it could cost you.
We've covered that in other podcasts as well.
Worth repeating.
Yes, it is.
And after approximately 1 year on disputed earnest money, the title company can send the disputed earnest money to the state of Texas, and it will release it to the buyer. The state of Texas will release it to the buyer upon a reasonable request. And yes, we've talked about that. It did happen.
Yep. That grass fire occurred. We put it out, though. So what is this paragraph B? What does that deal with?
It deals with assumable loans and states the name of the lender, the amount to be assumed, and the date of the loan. B3 states that the earnest money will be refundable if the loan to be assumed is greater than X dollars. It also says that the earnest money will be refundable if the assumption fee is larger than X dollars, because we don't want any surprises. And the assumption fees are normally, just so you'll know, the assumption fees are normally between 0.5% and 1%. But sometimes you should ask to see the seller's loan note before you write a contract. It just makes life easier.
In case you're signing up for something that's really exorbitant, you might want to look at that carefully.
Yeah, it just saves everybody time and acquisition costs by knowing what you're dealing with before you even write the contract. Now, the amount that the buyer may come to the table with is the sales price minus the balance of the assumable loan and maybe the assumption fee, and who pays that is a negotiable item.
So, all right, we have paragraph C. What does that stipulate?
C stipulates the terms of the seller financing. And normally a lender will not allow both an assumption and seller financing of part of the down payment. Some people say, well, I'll assume this loan. And by the way, I'm going to get the seller to seller finance part of my down payment. And most lenders who have loans that are assumable ain't going to go for the additional seller financing as part of the down payment.
No, I would say that was probably a rattlesnake fixing to bite somebody.
Well, I learned that because I tried once. It stipulates who is responsible for the property taxes and insurance, which is always a negotiable item.
And then we have, finally, paragraph D.
Paragraph D discusses the credit approval of the buyer for the loan assumption or for seller financing, and the number of days that the seller has to terminate if the buyer is not creditworthy.
And keep in mind, this is just one of the addendums. I'm sure there are lots more that we're going to cover in future podcasts.
Isn't this fun?
It sure is.
I really like helping people. So please go to our website at eustonius.com. That's Houston, I-U-S.com. Give us a call at 281-236-8189. Thank you.